Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. What do I need to know about you to understand how you became the person who's sitting in front of me today?
Yeah, I think the one thing you need to understand is what I've realized over surrounding myself in 35 years with the billionaires, the millionaires, the entrepreneurs, the celebrities, the athletes, the entertainers at the highest level, is I was born into a family and with a desire that I must be what I can be. And so regardless of all the trauma and struggles and pain and mistakes and setbacks and failures, I was able to take that feedback and turn it into success and be able to give that success to others to be successful as well. And so for me, as I look backwards and connect the dots, I was born into a family and was given a desire that I must be what I can be, that allowed me to utilize all the failures, setbacks, and mistakes, void shortages, and obstacles as feedback to get me to where I wanted to be or even better.
Where did that desire, or like that, I know it's called like expectation.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, it wasn't taught, but it was caught. It was caught because at 5 years old, my dad left and my mom had to raise 6 kids, 5 boys and 1 girl on her own, as a second grade teacher who packed our dinner in a paper bag, drove us around in a station wagon and filled up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. And so I caught the desire that you must be what you can be, that there was only one way to spell luck in my family, W-O-R-K. And if you weren't willing to work for it, if you weren't living, you know, for us, success was earned. It wasn't given. And in order to earn success, you had to have a desire that you must be what you can be.
You were the only one of your siblings who didn't take, let's call it like the expected route. What was the reason for that?
Well, my family is extremely academic. My mom had so many sayings about doctor, lawyer, or failure. The fetus isn't fully developed till after graduate school. If you got 1B, it would ruin your life. There's so many different things that my siblings, and they were really good. Imagine, you know, growing up genetically in a family that were LeBron James-like in academics. They went to Harvard, Penn, Columbia. Mm-hmm. And although I know I was born with the same genetics, I wanted to stand out. And I had a big family of academics, doctors and lawyers, and everybody went the safe route. You know, I'm not joking. If I went to a family reunion and told you I graduated summa cum laude from Harvard, nobody would blink an eye. But when I told everybody that I played football in college, I was the only one in my entire family ever still to play a sport, let alone play football in college. So I wanted to be different. I wanted to stand out. And luckily, because of my genetic disposition in academics, I could still do well in school. I am the only one in my family to ever get a B, just so you know. Yep. I am the only one in my family not to go to the Ivy Leagues. Although I went to very good schools, they weren't the Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of where I tell people all the time, I would take loans to go to Tulane Law School over taking a full scholarship to go to Harvard Law School. That's how much I love Tulane Law School.
Yeah. Why?
Because it was for me. It was people like me. And this is an important factor in my life. I wrote a book that's coming out at Super Bowl. It's called Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Yeah.
And it's about surrounding yourself with the right people and the right ideas, people that are at your frequency, your neighborhood, that you would be accepted. And although I teach at Harvard and I speak at Harvard and Harvard kids learn from me all the time, they reach out about my videos, I fit in better at Tulane than any other school. That's my vibration, my frequency, my neighborhood. The closest people in my lives went to law school with me, the Mike Tannenbaums of the world and the Carrie Taribos and a variety of extremely successful people in sports and entertainment, ironically, came from my school, not Harvard.
Then you became a multi-millionaire fairly quick within, was it within 9 months?
Yeah, 9 months I made my first $1 million, and by the time I was 30, I was worth over $100 million.
How was it to live through, like, in comparison to how you grew up with a mother, like, working, taking care of six kids? How's the comparison there when you switch the situation and you suddenly have that amount of money?
Yeah, well, the first thing was, it was extremely awesome to be able to buy my mom a house and a car, because that was the only reason I wanted to be rich. And so to make my first $1 million and not only be able to buy my mom a house and a car at 25 years old, but to continue to make more and more money, to take away the only thing that made me unhappy as a child, the only thing was to watch my mom cry over financial stress so many different times because she couldn't afford to give her children, her family, what she wanted or needed to give. And when I was able to resolve that, there was a great sense of fulfillment. The problem was I had attached my emotions so heavily to an outcome that, and I see this in sports with athletes that want to win a Super Bowl or a World Series or a World, that the fulfillment of getting there is so much greater than actually getting there, that there's this huge void. And I tried to fill that void with buying things and it didn't fill it. And then I tried to fill the void again with buying different things and it didn't work. And then I tried to fill the void with buying things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. And that didn't give me anything. And then that emptiness sitting, you know, I always say sitting alone in my trophy room by myself is not fulfilling. And so what did I do? I used drugs and alcohol to numb the emptiness. And it aggregated and accelerated, just like my good behavior that I had as a young person, aggregated, accelerated, and compounded into extraordinary results. Pretty soon, the negative behaviors started to aggregate and accelerate and compound in their results. And so I ended up empty, misguided, losing sight of who I was and what I wanted to become, because I had attached my emotions so heavily to being financially secure to take care of my mom that I didn't know what to do. I would always say, I'll be happy when I make 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, 40 million, 50 million. And I never was happy. I just became more and more empty and numbed the pain more and more with bad behaviors. And pretty soon it caught up with me and God blessed me and he took it all away. I went bankrupt and lost all of it, over $100 million, and he wanted to make sure I learned the lesson. So not only did he take it all away, he made me tell my mom that I lost everything, including her home. The only reason I wanted to be rich, I had to tell my mom that I lost her home and she had to move. And when I did, my mom asked me one question, are you okay? I'm like, Mom, you didn't hear me. You need to move. I lost your home. She then said, oh, do you need some money? I said, Mom, you're not listening. I lost everything, including your house. You need to move. Why is God punishing me? And my mom said, son, God does not punish anyone. He only protects you and promotes you and loves and perfects you. Well, Mom, I don't believe in God anymore. And she said, oh, and smirked at me. Son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. And that's when I realized, you're either humble or you're about to be. My mom suggested that I took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become once again, to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. And when I started focusing in on my behaviors once again and not attaching myself to outcomes, all of a sudden I made more money than ever, helping more people than ever, and having more fun than ever, my definition of happiness.
You said you started to become more happy and like change the focus. How were you feeling before compared to after? Like, how big of a difference was it? And was it different, like, when it came to the goals? Did you set goals differently? And like, what was the switch?
The switch was a paradigm. And the paradigm was, I was always trying to get more, achieve more, be more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, and more worthy. And I shifted the paradigm with not only wisdom of asking for help and humility, finding people who sat in the situation I wanted to be in and asked them for directions, as well as helping other people get to where they want to be. But the major shift was the idea of faith. just like my mom suggested, that I was protected and promoted, loved and perfected by something bigger than me, that loved me more than my mom, that knew everything, was omniscient, was all-powerful, had more energy, more inspiration than I could imagine, an infinite, abundant, unified source that made me a resource. So instead of trying to get more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, and more worthy, I simply realized I am. I am, in its purest form of existentialism, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. What was I doing to interfere with it? And that paradigm shift, that quantum shift has allowed me not only to create and access the abundance that was always available to me, but to empower other people like you, to empower other people to live in abundance with more than enough of everything for everyone.
Do you think you'd be able to get that perspective if you didn't experience what happened in 2008?
If I did not experience something like that, yeah. Not a chance. I'm not that enlightened. I believe that every problem and struggle has a lesson, a solution in it, and it's just a lapse of time until it becomes a resolution, a resolution. I believe there are people that don't have to experience pain, suffering, and mistakes in order to learn. I'm not that person. I think that I am here to learn lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until I learn them. And it's the pain, failure, and setbacks that elevate my awareness to what I need to learn. Luckily, I have a positive perspective and I serve from my saucer, which helps me learn faster, that I've lost the perspective of being punished, but more importantly, the perspective of being promoted by when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where I want to be. I see light, love, and lessons in front of me, not punishment.
If you could go back to yourself when you were young and started to make money and give yourself one piece of advice with all the knowledge you have now after experiencing everything, both like ups and downs, what would you say to yourself?
Three words I still tell myself every day. Ask for help. Man, I paid so much dummy tax because I was too afraid to ask for help or I had no humility. I realize today, the longer I go, the less I know. You're the humbler you're about to be. And if I just can find someone that sits in a situation, subject matter, topic, or expertise that I desire and ask that person for help. You see, the fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions or help someone get to where they want to be. Asking for help is the infinite loop of giving. People feel their highest self when they're able and capable of helping other people. And if we don't ask for help, they never feel able and capable of helping. And we are actually denying, we are actually not giving an opportunity, an option to feel our highest self, our Christ-like self. So please, anyone out there wondering, what's the best piece of advice? It's simply ask for help. And I promise you, it's the fastest way to get to where you want to be or better. And speaking of help, I would love to help everyone on my mission. If anyone in your community would like my book, I will sign it. I will send it to you. I will pay for shipping. I will pay for the book. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com.
That's very cool of you. All right. I think that's a pretty good place to wrap this up.
Thank you so much, Theodore. I look forward to meeting you in person. Anything I can do to be of service to you, all you got to do is ask.